Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to this 15th and 16th chapters of Acts of the Apostles? I would like us to understand that the miracle that God can perform with people is beyond the imagination of man. It just boggles the mind at what God can do and does do when a man is being used of God. In this study, we shall discover how God used a young man. In our next study, later on this day, we shall look at the leadership that God calls. Now notice, this is God calling. And God is making his call upon men and women to follow him. And I want to bring this congregation today to the attention of the Word of God. I want to bring you to this place that you might recognize these simple words that are found in the first verse of chapter 16. A certain disciple named Timotheus, or as we would say in our English fashion today, named Timothy. The name Timothy means quite literally honored and valued of God. Here was a young man valued of God, honored by God. He was chosen by Paul to be his assistant in the work of the ministry. There is no such great work in all the world than the work of the ministry. It exceeds the work of kings and queens. It exceeds the work of presidents and counselors. It exceeds everything. It is to be the ministry of the King of Kings and to present the name of the Lord Jesus in clarity before people. So let's look at the career of this young minister of the gospel of our Lord. We discover, for instance, in 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verses 1 through 6, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promises of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, and without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, and so on. The apostle says, you're a splendid young man, and I want you to be aware that I think you're splendid. Go to chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now the apostle is laying out in clear detail that this young man, who first of all we notice is a native of Lystra in Asia Minor, this fellow that was visited twice by Paul and Barnabas in the first missionary journey. If you want to check that up, it's in the 14th chapter of Acts, verses 8 through 21. It's interesting how Paul first met the fellow, visited with the fellow, and then said, Timothy, be my assistant. If you'll notice, secondly, his mother was a Jewess. His father was a Gentile. Timothy was the heir of two generations of Christian teaching. His grandmother, Lois and Eunice, two generations of teaching of the Scriptures. And this young man knew the Lord Jesus because the Apostle Paul introduced him to the Lord Jesus after the testimony of his grandmama and his mother had been secured within his heart. Make sure those of you that have the opportunity of bringing some influence upon the young people, even though sometimes the young people seem to be rapscallions and doing their thing their way, and their generation is so removed from your generation, maintain the testimony. Maintain your ministry to young men and women, that they also may be able to boast, even though someone in the family didn't love the Lord At least I have a generation or two to rely on, and their blessing and their presence. Notice in the third instance, Timothy was very likely witness to, as the Apostle Paul caused a healing to take place and the subsequent persecution of Paul. If you look at this 16th chapter of and the 15th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, very likely Timothy was there and he witnessed this, and he almost was overwhelmed, I think, by the tremendous outpouring of the faith of the Apostle Paul. Then we need to understand his very definite conversion. There's the early influence on all of us, but there has to be a conversion. I remember seeing so many things that were very magnificent in the church when I was a young fellow. I remember my mother-in-law telling me about the Welsh revival as it reached North Wales where she lived, and she saw it firsthand. I was fascinated by that. As a grandmother, she was able to tell her son-in-law how the great things of God had swept through the town in which she lived. I was blessed just by hearing it. But it didn't mean I was right with God. I had to have a conversion. Turn to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Here the apostle says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The apostle Paul had to remind Timothy to be strong, to be a fellow that could stand up. Turn to the first epistle that he writes to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 12. "I thank Christ Jesus the Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." There is Paul's testimony to this young man. Cast your eyes on to verse 18. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now here is something that we don't tell too many young men and women, but we are looking for soldiers to fight Satan and to fight evil. Evil is the product of Satan. We need to wrestle and understand that if we join this battle, we'll be wrestling against the principalities and powers. The ministry is not standing up and preaching. The ministry is not looking after older people. It isn't running around after young people. The ministry is wrestling with the darkened things that are not in this world but hover above it. They're not in the heavens but hover beneath it. And we wrestle against these principalities and these powers. We have to learn to fight as a soldier of the Lord Jesus. Paul says that Timothy was his own son, or to point that out deliberately, his true child of the Spirit in the faith, and his dearly beloved son. It seems that Paul led Timothy to the Lord during his first missionary journey. We're not sure of that, but we think it's right. And it seems to be a fitting time and place. In the second instance here, notice that here is a great case for child conversion. Those of you that would stand up and say that children can't be converted, I would share with you that Timothy as a child was converted. And Timothy as a child had these influences upon him. And as a child was confirmed by the Holy Ghost. I would share with you here is a great case, a great case. It's said that Robert Moffat, the pioneer missionary, was also converted as a child. And there are scores of people who have served the Lord willingly. Many have laid down their lives for the Lord Jesus, who were converted as children. Notice something else here. There is a special work for Timothy. In Acts and chapter 16 and verses 1 through 3, we discover this special work. Timothy was to go out and he was to minister the word of God. By the time Paul's second visit to Lystra was accomplished, Timothy was a young man. And we read in verse 1 of the 16th chapter of Acts, a certain disciple or follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. A certain disciple. Now the second thing here to notice is he was a disciple with a good reputation. Look at verse 2, and it also carries on into verse 3. But notice especially in verse 2, the local Christians recognized him, and he was well reported by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Here is an important thing, young men and women. If you're going into the ministry, the local church, the church in which you grew up, should be the church that recommends you to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I deplore the thing that we do these days. We say, oh, I'm going into the mission field. And so you apply to a mission field. And the first thing the local church hears about it is that the mission director writes and says, do you recommend this person to the missionary corps? The Bible says that the local assembly of believers should say, here is a young man or woman, well reported of, someone in whom we put a great deal of stock, and we recommend this person to the ministry of the gospel in a foreign field. This is how it should be done. The Bible says so. But alas, for instance, there is a young person that I know quite well. She is now not as young as she used to be, because 10 years have gone by. But 10 years ago, she wanted to go into the mission field. And the first I knew as the pastor was that the Conservative Baptist Foreign Mission Society wrote to me and said, this young lady is coming into our society. What do you think? And I wrote back and said, most inappropriate. This is not a good thing to do. This woman has a problem. And in fact, several. She should not, at this point in her life, be a missionary. But they took her. Well, then they asked her to leave because she had some things that were problematical, and so she couldn't stay on the field. So she dinged around for a while like a misfit, wondered why things wouldn't work and why things didn't work out for her. And the assembly, that is the elders, the deacons of our church, got together with me and we prayed over this young lady. And we asked that God would either give her new direction or cause her to settle down, or both. But she didn't. And there was a selfishness and a willfulness in the girl. Then suddenly I got a note from another missionary society. It wasn't a denominational one. It was an interdenominational society. And so they don't really have too many ties with denominational churches in this way. And she had applied to them. She didn't apply to the local church, for the local church had disqualified her. But she applied to them. And then they wrote to me while I was here in this ministering in this church. And I wrote back and said, I don't know this young lady in the last few months or the last year. But I do know that prior to that she had serious problems. And I would direct that great caution should be expressed towards this lady, taking her on. They took her on. They didn't bother to check with CBFMS. They didn't bother to check what the problems were. They didn't do a lot of things they should have done. Now you can get in, but Jude says that's going into the missionary and ministry of the Word of God. That's going in through the back door. And beware of people that go in the back door. He says it loudly. He says it clearly. There is a front door. Now look, here is the front door. This young man was well received by the local Christians. And the local Christians were in agreement with the apostle. Here is a young man who is tailored for this work. And they presented him to the ministry of the gospel. Let's go on and see this special work of Timothy. For the third thing is this, that Timothy was Paul's constant companion and fellow worker. Now the scriptures are innumerable, and I don't want to spend the time looking at them all, but you can get into Acts in several different parts and discover how Timothy was continually with the apostle Paul. In Romans 6:21, Paul talks of him being there. In Corinthians to the Thessalonian church and in Hebrews, and here in 1 and 2 Timothy, we read how he was the continual and constant companion and correspondent with the Apostle Paul. This caused him to grow, and it caused him to learn the ministry so that he understood the ministry. Now notice the special spirit of this young man. He had a very special spirit, and it exhibited itself in all kinds of very beautiful ways. But especially, turn with me to Philippians 2 and 19 through 23. For here we read, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Notice the enormous stock that the Apostle Paul put in this young man. He had a special spirit, and it's revealed there. Paul could send him with confidence as a young man who would unselfishly consider the Word of God and not his own career. So often with young men and women today, they're looking at their career and not the expansion and presentation of the gospel of Christ. Timothy was filled with the Spirit of God, and he had faith. And that faith took him to the church and caused him to work with the Apostle Paul. Paul says, like a father with a son, we labored side by side in the ministry. He was Paul's trusted and loved companion and beloved helper and loving messenger. And Paul could send him to the church and say, church, listen to Timothy. He is like a son to me. What a privilege and joy. Now, God may call you into a celibate ministry. That is, you may never marry. But if you're a young woman, he will give you children you never knew of. And at this point, if you marry, you'll have 1, 2, 3, or maybe 4 children, and that'll be that. But if you don't marry, he will give you innumerable children. If you're a man and you seek the companionship of a son, which is very precious, and you're in the ministry, and you haven't married, and you have no children of the flesh, my dear friend, you'll discover that God will give you a right hand. He will give you a son, as he did the Apostle Paul with Timothy. It's a precious, precious ministry that we have. Don't worry about marriage. God can bless you with children that are not yours in the flesh, but are most definitely yours in the Spirit. And it's an exciting thing to see how God does this. Now notice the special character of a minister. There are qualifications, and these qualifications Timothy had for the ministry. He had the background and the principle of a home that was filled with faith. If you go into the first epistle, you'll discover, the second epistle, and the first chapter, you'll discover in verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. This is a principle. Young men and women, if you're seeing the principle of faith in your house, look out. God very likely will have his finger on you for some ministry of some sort, somehow, sometime, somewhere. Notice also, there was a method of training, and it was through the precious Word of God. Justin, very quickly go to the third chapter of 2 Timothy and see in 14 and 15. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of them that thou hast of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle taught Timothy, and he taught him, and his mother and his grandmother taught him with the precious holy word of God. There was a method of training. Notice also the possession of the Christian life. There was discipling. In this chapter 16 of Acts and verse 1, we read that he was a disciple. Discipling had gone on. Now please, for a moment, throw out of your mind all those wonderful books on discipling. And understand that this discipling was being done by the people it should have been done with. It was done first with a mother and a grandmother. And it was also done by a man of God. If you are the parent of a child, make sure the child hears and knows what it is to be discipled, to be led, to be shown, to be encouraged. Notice also, he had a good reputation in the local church. Verse 2 tells us that. And notice again that he was under Paul's direction, and he gave in to that direction, recognizing it was the direction of the Holy Spirit. It reveals itself in three different ways. In strength, Paul balanced the feminine influence in the house of Eunice and Lois. He balanced that out by tremendous strength, and he showed the expression of the love of God in a home that expressed the feminine overpowering influence. And the influence of timidity. He had to say to Paul, to Timothy, I want you to stand as a good soldier. I want you to fight the good fight. I want you to get out there and act like a man. He had to say some of those things to Timothy. And Timothy understood that it was the balancing out of the timidity that he had been brought up in, with the feminine influence and the feminine temperament and the constitution of a man had to be revealed. In the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy, we read in verse 12, these words, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Listen to Paul as he speaks to him in 2:15. He says, you've done it, you've learned it. Now you learned it from a child, now stand with it. The apostle was pretty forthright in the way he expressed himself to this young fella. Then I want you to notice there was wisdom. And there's so much here, but let me just share with you the 20th verse of 1 Timothy 6. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now Paul gave him great wisdom and said, Timothy, follow the wisdom. Follow what I'm telling you. And he gave him this wisdom. In the third chapter and the 15th verse, listen to the colossal wisdom that of the first epistle this is. And he gives this, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is in the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of the truth. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Notice, Paul teaches him wisdom. Then he teaches him reliance, self-reliance, which is being capable, how to rely on the Holy Spirit, how to rely on what God has shared. Look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1 of the second epistle. He says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stirred up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, being a Christian, Timothy, doesn't make you a funny little character. It makes you a solid, strong person, self-reliant, because you're relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 6 through 16 of the fourth chapter of the first epistle, and also in the first chapter of the first epistle in verse 3, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest change some, that they teach no other doctrine. He had to say to this young fellow, do it. You can do it. Now get up and do it. What a young man this turned out to be. Timothy, a certain disciple named Timothy. Notice how else God speaks with this young man through the apostle. He says that there has to be a knowledge in the use of the word of God in the third chapter of the second epistle. And verses 14 through 17, we discover, and we've already looked at 14 and 15, so let me use 16 and 17 here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Timothy, there is no need for you to be without the knowledge of the word of God. Then he showed him the spirit of unselfishness in chapter 2 of Philippians and verses 19 through 23. I'm hurrying a little because I want to condense this and get this in the time slot. You look up those scriptures for yourself. God had only one son, says the old Puritan writer, and he made him a minister. What a marvelous expression this is. And Mark 10:45 expresses this in detail. Jesus says, I am the minister. God had one son and made him a minister. Young men, we need men who will become like Timothy. Whatever your background, wherever you're coming from, parents, teach and train your young men for the ministry. Now, it may not be a pulpit ministry, but train them for the ministry of the Word of God, that they might somehow become the long, strong arms of those of us that grow gray and feeble. Oh, that God would bless us with men. Young men, we need you in the ministry. The ministry is desperate for young men who will read Timothy, understand Timothy, become like Timothy, and work and pray and fast and continue steadfast to the end, as did this young man. If you'll turn with me to the first epistle, to the first chapter of that first epistle of Timothy in verse 12, we read there, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into this ministry. There is a clear reference here, surely, to the Christian ministry of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy is the only person in the New Testament that is called a man of God. He is called a man of God. This is an Old Testament expression. Turn to the 6th chapter, the 11th verse of 1 Timothy. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Then you can fight the good fight. The apostle says of Timothy, you are a man of God. That is, he is a man with God-likeness. Godliness, we call it. Being deeply concerned with God by the reading of the Word of God, by the praying in the Word of God, with God. Young men, young women, are you Timothys? Older people, are you training these fellows and girls to be Timothys? You're charged by the Scripture today to reckon on this. You see, being godly means to be manly. Manly. Truth in the mind, love in the heart, righteousness in the life. That reveals manliness, for manliness is due to godliness. It is a cause and effect. A godly person becomes a manly person. We need you. The grace of God first makes us godly. Then it produces and makes us, or proceeds and makes us, manly. Paul and Timothy were one in Christ, and they were one for Christ. Let me ask this congregation of believers, how many Timothys are sitting in this congregation who need to listen to the Word of God and acquit themselves like men and to stand? Avoid silly, nonsensical discussions. Avoid it. Look at your background. God has given you godly, in many instances, godly parents, godly grandparents. And there have been times when you've rebelled against this. Now it's time to fall on your knees and say, "Oh God, thank you for the testimony." I thank God for a godly great-grandmama who would tell me the stories of Jesus, a godly great aunt that would pray with me constantly. I thank God for a godly grandpapa who would teach me the things of God, for a godly parents who would show me the things of God. I thank God for godly uncles and aunties who brought me into the grace of God. And I thank God for my background. I can say in a sense with the Apostle Paul, I was freeborn. A man once took me aside and said, "You have to understand these doctrines." And he went into a great detail of these wondrous truths of God. And I looked at him eventually and said, "My dear friend, I learned these wondrous secrets from my mother's knee." We want the power of God in the pulpit. We want the might of God in the pulpit. We want the mind of Christ in our lives. We want the ability of prayer and the power of the Word of God. We need this. Then pay attention. You're a young man. You're a young woman. Listen to your background. God didn't do it by mistake or accident. He gave you that background because God loved you and says, "Young man, young woman, serve me. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and everything else you need will be added to you. But first, His kingdom. First, His righteousness. First, His Son." Oh, Timothy, in this congregation, will you respond to God's challenge? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank Thee for the privilege of being together. We thank Thee for the beauty of Thy Word, for the magnificence of Thy call, for the greatness of Thy gospel, for the undisputed glory of Thy Son. Bring this congregation at this time, we beseech Thee, to its knees where we may say, "Oh God, I could have been used like Timothy. I should be used like Timothy. I must be used like Timothy." Oh, Father, bless our congregation today. For Jesus' sake, amen.